Welcome to the ABC edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss the murder that changed the world, or so they say, on All My Children. Scott Reeves joins General Hospital as Steven Weber, and Todd and Taya's daughter is revealed on One Life to Live. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
It's been a week or two, I think. So welcome back.
I've been trying to get on a schedule and we can't at all. Something always pops up.
And I've been going through with spoiler withdrawals on the site.
I know. And I want to apologize to everybody. I promise. I'm getting back into the swing of things. It should be getting back to normal. Taking off time from DC also meant taking off time from the other job. So have to catch up in both places.
Day job comes first. Well, also joining us today, we have Ion Soap's Belinda, who writes the column The View from the Recliner's Edge. Welcome, Belinda.
Hi, thank you. It's just always so much fun to be here with you.
Well, let's discuss All My Children. Get it out of the way. They had the promos, the murder that changed the world forever. Or changed Pine Valley forever. Changed All My Children. At this point, there's more change going on in Pine Valley, supposedly, than Obama's election campaign.
Oh. At this point, does anybody even care?
No. I do not care. And to add insult to injury, Friday's episode ended with a cliffhanger of Adam is the killer.
Yawn.
Silence, crickets.
Yeah. Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Well, what do you think?
I feel like I've been robbed.
Do you?
I do. It feels like a torturous amount of time that they have been teasing this and telling us what a difference it's going to make and blah, blah, blah. And I just feel like they cheated me out of something. I don't even know what at this point. I don't care who can steward anymore, for one thing. They drag it out too long. And for the second thing, to make it Adam just pisses me off.
Well, and Adam would never do that to his own brother. I mean, and of course, the excuse, that's exactly it. The excuse that comes back will be he wasn't under his normal senses. So he
but
was drugged.
I have a question about this. What the little kid's name? Is it Emma?
Yes.
Because I get these kids confused. She was traumatized into not speaking for that length of time. And she's been jumping through flaming hoops, lying on her mother's behalf. Why? Annie and Adam were nothing to each other when it happened. She barely knew Adam. I mean, either it has to be a red herring or it is the stupidest soap plot I've seen since Carly's car went off the mountain and she spent 2 weeks eating chili dogs in a cabin with another man and nobody ever checked to see who it was. Stupid. Sorry, I'll shut up. Somebody else say something.
People say that Greenlee is probably my favorite All My Children character, which isn't true. It's actually Adam. And watching this, on one hand, I think to myself, okay, is this All My Children's way of doing an exit storyline for David Canary? Not necessarily an exit story. Let me rephrase that. Is this the way for them to reduce his time? Because once it's revealed that he was Stewart's killer, if it in fact becomes that this is not a red herring, then he'll end up like Erica Kane in jail over that one summer, and we'll see him. He could end up in jail, so he serves a jail sentence. I mean, that's one potential road that they could do it so that we would still see David Canary from time to time, but in a much limited capacity. And so it's like, okay, maybe that's what they're doing. But at the same time, it seems like a giant cop-out.
It is a giant cop-out. It's like, you know, they should have used a gun, you know, because they definitely ripped the fans off. You know, if they would have held us at gunpoint, it couldn't have been any more blatant robbery. And, you know, with all this block taping that goes on, I don't understand why their vets couldn't block tape in New York if that's what they chose to do. This is the video age.
Well, I would assume that sets won't be in New York any longer.
I guess that's the
point.
They'd
have to maintain production, some sort of production just for AMC schedule here, you know, so.
I guess there's a lot to it that I don't realize because I'm not, you know, contrary to popular belief, not an insider.
The other thing that was interesting this last week was Aiden and Kendall on the run.
Was that interesting?
I was trying to be sarcastic slash
Okay.
ironic. It didn't quite go
Oh, all
over as
right.
well as I intended. But I don't know. I just watching the episodes for this last week and seeing him, it's like Kendall and Zach are never, ever going to have peace. I've just resigned myself to the fact that they'll never, ever be happy. It's not going to happen. I don't believe it will. Even when they say they are, I won't believe it.
I don't understand why soaps can't graciously back off these so-called power couples. When I first started watching, it was the 60s. Okay, it was black and white, I admit it, but the main people, Steve and Audrey on General Hospital, they went through years where the show really kind of revolved around them, and then they had their other offshoot stories. But when they finally got them together around the time they were in their 30s, and they became solid, they moved them graciously to the back burner. They kept them involved in all the younger and hipper storylines, sometimes to a very big degree, but they didn't keep breaking them up and getting them back together. I think that's where they've lost so many of us, especially the viewers that remember the old days, is that they just won't let them alone. I mean, Todd and Blair, you can probably name people on All My Children when they have earned being able to step back and get paid for being in the party scenes and being a shoulder to cry on and giving out advice and, doing some other kind of storyline besides the romance, besides the marital or postmarital angst. I just
Well,
miss that.
speaking of marital and postmarital, what did you think of JR and Marissa getting married? All I could think to myself is, my God, we went from Babe to Marissa. I liked Marissa initially when she started out, but no more. JR needs a way better character as a wife.
I'm just sad. It's just sad.
David, on one hand, David this last week goes, JR stole something else from me. Chandler stole something else from me. It's like, okay, first of all, David, you've barely known your daughter
Yeah,
at
literally
all. I mean,
5 minutes.
exactly. You've known Marissa just as long as JR has, for all intents and purposes. He hasn't stole anything. But then on the other hand, it's like, God, I can't believe I'm agreeing with David. I don't want these two married together. I just think that this character from the outset has been a disastrous mistake in
Me
bringing.
too.
Why do they need to bring on a twin for Babe? There's no point. Let J JR has not had a good romance, ironically. I mean, even if you go back, okay, Alexa Havens is Babe. I didn't like the storyline, but by comparison to this, it's freaking Shakespeare. Any other topics before we move on from All My Children?
They're just focusing too much on these tepid characters. They don't have any fire. They don't have any flash to them. And those are the ones they're choosing to focus on, Marissa and Scott and Aiden right now, who had a lot of flash, but they really kind of bred it out of him over the last couple of years. I don't understand why they're going so bland.
Is Aiden making the move? I'm not.
No,
No,
he's not.
he's not.
He's been let go.
They should bring him to General Hospital.
No.
But they're probably going to kill him off.
Why not? He's a Devane.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, he's Robin's uncle, for goodness sake. You can't tell me that he wouldn't fit in with the SAM detective agency, the Jackal and Hobag detective agency.
Speaking of Sam.
Jacqueline Hobag.
Jackal and Hobag. Well, speaking of.
Go ahead, say it.
I was going to say.
Did we just find
Yeah.
the
Speaking of Sam, won't comment on the Hobag part, but speaking of Sam, Reagan, I understand you're less than a little pleased.
Well, there's too many rumors out there that she's gonna get pregnant. And I'm just everybody who's ever read my shit or listened to me on here knows I hate the miracle baby. Hate it, hate it, hate it. And please, we just went through a whole pregnancy with Carly where she may die of a sorority or fraternity disorder or whatever that ZBT shit was. So I'm just, like I said, it's a rumor right now, but if it becomes true, I think I'm gonna save my real rant for that podcast because right now it might be a little premature for me to go completely off. So stay tuned.
Okay.
Now, I watched all week and Is there truly going to be no repercussions to them finding that pregnant woman passed out in her own home? I mean, they were obviously illegally in this woman's house. They rushed her to the hospital where she apparently lived, right? She lived, right?
Yeah.
Given birth to, okay, I thought so. I mean, occasionally I blink.
I think so. I don't know.
Because I was thinking, oh my goodness, she's going to die and they're going to try to adopt the baby. And then at the last minute, guess what? Baby's daddy's going to show up and take him away from Sam. And we're going to get some more of the sitting by the fake gravestone.
And that would just be ripping off night shift one with Robin's story. So that would annoy me for that reason alone.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're supposed to like be, you know, more involved in this whole Claudia reveal and all that. And, you know, there's still talk that Claudia's leaving in a body bag, or she's like going to kind of go off screen in a coma or hurt or something. And
did you hear the rumor, Reagan, that Michael's going to be the one that kills her?
I've seen that too. I've seen that Sam and Jason are definitely suspects. And they're, you know, so of course, when
of course they are
suspects, yeah. Guess what else the other rumor is? A marriage of convenience, you know.
Well, they have to be suspects. I mean, they've been hitting us over the head with a mall with Spinelli, like, not wanting to help them.
Oh, right. I've never been a big Jason fan, but this last week he pissed me off so bad. I was standing in the middle of my living room floor screaming at the television, picture this, and I'm screaming, pick up the pool cue and beat him to death! Beat him to death! I just, you know, in my head, I could just see little tiny Kelly Monaco picking up the pool stick, not the cue, and just bludgeoning Jason with it. He was being so obsessed.
Well,
I'm not a fan of this Jason either. I love Jason, but I'm not a fan of this Jason.
Once again, I would like to say how much I hate the fact that they glorify criminals. I can't get over it. I love Steve Burton. Jason was one of my favorite characters. I think I might have been one of the only people on Earth back when Susan got pregnant who wanted Susan and Alan to get together, because Monica treated Alan like shit during that time, you know? And so from the time he was conceived on the program, I loved this character. I wanted him to be something. I didn't want him to be a brain-damaged hitman.
See, I don't mind the mob. And I think, like, I've spoken against it a lot recently just because it's always been too much in the balance. It's somewhat coming back, but it's never truly back to where when GH was in its heyday. I don't mind the mob as much as I think I let on. It's always had its place. GH has always glorified criminal activity in one way or another.
The good guys usually won.
Yeah, but... you know, it's kind of like, you know, back in the day, the good guys were Robert and Sean and Luke to a certain extent, despite his illegal activities.
And so Sean started out as a bad guy. Do you remember
that?
And I
hate saying back then the good guys always won. I always kind of want to say the WSB always won, because they weren't all hot, you know, holy moly. You know what I mean?
They were definitely multi-layered. They were
exactly,
were,
and that's what I think Jason and Sonny, where they're missing the mark on them, because they used to be multi-layered. They had romances that stopped you in your tracks, and they had storylines that were like meaningful. And now it's just, I'm not getting that meaning with them anymore.
I'm going to use this as a segue to the major topic for General Hospital for this last week. We haven't really discussed it yet, but the character of Steven Weber has been cast. Scott Reeves is joining the cast as Steven Weber. Reagan, what do you think?
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I like Scott Reeves. I was never, you know, everybody knows I'm not a Y&R watcher and historically have not been a Y&R watcher, but I was a Days watcher. So I loved Missy Reeves, and, you know, you can't ignore the fact that she's married to a real hot guy. So, you know, he was always on my radar. So I think it's cool. Him and Steve Burton are good friends. You know, he's recurring for now, and I think they're happy where they've settled in Tennessee. So I think, you know, the traveling back and forth, the tapes and stuff here and there. I'm happy that we're getting more Webbers. I've said for a long time they need to need to get more Webbers back on the show. The little brief Audrey appearance was
Wasn't
nice.
that
Oh,
great?
that was low. And Leslie and Bobby,
Yeah.
my heart just pitter-pattered.
But, you know, I've always said they need to bring Sarah back. They're a huge part of history, the Webbers and the Hardys, and they just need to kind of reestablish that a little bit. But they also need to reestablish the Scorpios a little bit. Every time Mac hits the screen, I'm ecstatic.
Me too. There's still so much potential for Max Scorpio. Robert as well, if they would deign to bring him back.
Oh,
But
that
I,
won't
you know, I
happen.
won't even, yeah, I'm not, I won't even go there just to mention. But there's so much potential for Mac because he's got such great history and such great tethers to the canvas, and he's still so viable. He is as good looking as the younger guys. And has a great personality. He's a good actor. I just don't get it. Now that Sonny and Jason are getting a little long in the tooth, they're at the magic mark in their lives where our other favorites lost their jobs.
I'm
Now
hoping
the
him.
favorites are that age.
I'm hoping with him coming on though, and he's going to be the new chief of staff. I'm hoping we get to see a little bit more Monica, maybe a little bit more
I hope
Corey.
well, and that's what I was going to ask about. I mean, if he's the
What
new
about
chief of
Monica?
staff, where does that leave Monica?
Sitting in the drawing room, snorting at Edward,
You know,
30 seconds a month.
with everything that's been going on in the industry, you constantly hear rumors that somebody's going to be dropped reoccurring or somebody's going to get outright fired. I know Leslie Charleston signed, what was it, roughly a year ago, or
No,
and so
she re-signed. I think she re-signed a couple months ago as
was
well.
it. I mean, you got to remember they're all on these 13 or 26 week cycles, so you
Right.
never know what's going to happen when that cycle comes up. I really wouldn't be shocked to see them put Monica on recurring just because they don't use her. I mean, how they killed off Alan, so
I still
anything
can't
can happen
believe that.
this show. So I'd like to see a little bit of Quartermain storyline out of this with Monica being a
At
little
least let's give
disgruntled.
them some angst, them trying to take it away from Monica and her fighting for it or
Right.
doing something else that gets her in trouble and loses it. I mean, not this 30-second alcoholism crap that, you know, oh my God, they piss me off so bad with
Well,
that.
speaking of 30 seconds, let's talk about the Jonathan Jackson promo.
Oh,
It may
God.
have been a little bit longer than 30
That was a
seconds,
great
how ridiculous,
segue.
but I wanted to try and see if I could use it. Okay. The Jonathan Jackson promo came out this last week. My first impressions of it were, God, it is so amazing to see Jonathan Jackson and Rebecca Herbst in those
And he doesn't look
flashbacks.
angry.
So, on the one hand, as someone who watched those old scenes, and I can't believe I've actually been watching this show that long now, but who actually remembers those scenes? Those scenes in the flashbacks were fantastic.
Oh.
Seeing him at the door was great.
Yes. But
But
as a
what's she
Greg
supposed
Bond
to be
fan?
remember him from?
Exactly.
You
And
know,
this and this
hi, remember me from Tuesday? Remember me from dinner last night? Oh,
Yeah.
remember me from trying to have sex with me last Monday? What?
And I know Luke, you put a post up on the blog about this. I mean, really, it wasn't as blatant as the real Greenlee campaign, but it was only not as blatant as that because it didn't say the real Lucky has
Right.
returned. Sorry, whoever disagrees with that. It's, you know, it
Who
was a
on
little
earth could he be
disrespectful to
talking
the
to
man
in
that
that
had been
clip?
there for 7 years. So,
Well, some people like Jamie, his thing was, who cares? This
yeah,
is
I get
the
that.
cowboy returns.
I get that. And I agree.
and I get that it is the cowboy returning, and from that standpoint, I totally agree. I don't understand why the ABC promo department, no matter who it is, if you're bringing back an actor who originally portrayed a character, if you're bringing back an actor who previously portrayed a character, and there have been other actors who portrayed the character since, can't they just come up with something simple that says Jonathan Re Jackson returns as Lucky Spen as Cowboy instead of
Yeah.
saying First Love? I like the promo with the exception of the words First Love. It's like, does that mean that Jacob Young's Lucky was her second love and that Greg Vaughn was her third love? And where does that then put Steve Burton and apparently Nicholas Cassadine and all these other people? I mean, if we're going to start ranking it by actor, because let's
Yeah.
face it, an actor isn't a first love, it's the character. So to me, it's just
Exactly.
like ecstatic that Jonathan Jackson is returning. I totally understand JB's standpoint. I just thought the words first love, it's like, okay.
You know, and it was that Remember Me quote. I'm sure it's going to tie into some dialogue somehow. You know, he's trying to sweep her off her feet again now that they're engaged for the, you know, millionth time. But I would have preferred, like you said, just to see Jonathan Jackson returns Tuesday and then have him that soundbite of Remember Me, you know, and let the fans just kind of make their own assumption over what the Remember Me, how they're going to fit it in, as opposed to, you know, Elizabeth's first love returns. And I just, you know, Greg did a great job with what they gave him while he was there. And
Which
I just,
was jack shit, by the
yeah,
way.
and I just think you kind of learn your lessons and you do things as politically correct as you can and not try to piss anybody or any fans off more than you already have.
It's just weird. It's
Yeah.
just a the
I'm ecstatic to see him back. Do not get
Oh,
me wrong.
exactly.
I just
I am
wonder.
ecstatic. As much of a liaison fan as I am, I'm over the moon that he's back. But I did like Greg. I loved Greg. My roommate loves Greg.
Me too. I love Greg Vaughn. I loved Jonathan Jackson. I'm not trying not to be prejudiced against this whole thing because it was a big part of the show for a long time, something that kept me tuning in every day because the two actors, Rebecca Herbst and Jonathan Jackson, were so great together
They were
at that time.
amazing.
Amazing is a great word for it. So I'm really holding an open mind about it. I just wish if they were going to play it like this, that they could have invested more time in the writing and maybe found out that Greg Vaughn's Lucky was a plant from Helena, that it was someone with plastic surgery, that it was, you know, that it was not the real Lucky.
I just hope that fans don't hold them to the standard of where they were back then. The characters have evolved and changed so much since Jonathan Jackson was on our screens that I'm not as confident in the writing now as I was then. So I really hope that these fans don't become fair weather for Jonathan Jackson because these characters are so different from those two kids in that church. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, yes.
So, I mean, they're parents now. I mean, Lucky back then would have never in a million years thought of being a cop. You know, so these characters have completely evolved and changed. And so let's hope that this can be written properly.
Let's talk about One Life to Live for a bit. We got our first glimpse of Taya and Todd's daughter, Belinda. What'd you think?
I think she's a lovely girl. She's got great hair, which is one of the first things that I always notice about Star.
Just
It,
hope
you
she's not a
know,
hair mop.
I hope she's not a hair model. Yeah, I mean, she only had on Friday, I think, two scenes, maybe three. I don't know if the girl has ever worked on screen before. The thing for me is always with, especially with character this age. They throw these actresses into these huge storylines and they're not quite ready for them. And, you know, so I'm just not sure how good an actress, but, you know, and if she can take what they're throwing at her. I hope so because she's got the look.
In the build up to the reveal that Todd has a daughter, they're putting the pieces in place. Reagan, we had this last week where Ross, and now we'd learn that his lawyer is actually his brother.
I liked that little twist.
Yeah, it was
Thank
nice.
you.
It was a great way to tie this character to the canvas. Online reaction for the brother has been popular, so it was or good. So it's a nice way to tie him back in. But at the same time, you have Todd, who is obviously still hurt by what Taya has done. And you have Blair, who she fully remembers that Taya has a child and now is hiding it from Todd. This looks like it could be something that could lead up to a great culmination. And now that we actually have the introduction of the daughter, I hope that they don't drag it out too long, but I wonder, is this something that will culminate at the end of November sweeps, or will it be something which, I mean, doesn't November sweeps start next week?
Yeah, it
Yeah.
starts hot on the 31st
Yeah,
usually.
so I mean, if it culminates at the end of November sweeps, or is this something where we might be dragging it out longer? So what do you think of the build up to this storyline? Are you anticipating its culmination?
Yes,
I
here's
am.
the thing. For some reason during the build-up, I don't know if I never heard Taya mention that it was a daughter, or if
They never said.
I for some reason in my head, I thought it was a son. So the whole time I'm kind of like, wait, daughter? I thought this whole time it was going to be a son, but I think it's probably going to be their sweep, part of their sweep story. Ron always seems to twine everything together with his storylines and Matthew being in London and her being there. I just think it's going to all be part of sweep somehow or one way or another.
My
So.
first thought was Matthew and this girl being paired romantically, and the fact that that would leave Destiny in the dirt.
How old
You
is she
know.
supposed to be, this daughter?
Didn't they say 14 or 15?
Okay, so she's in the boarding school, right? Is that what
Yes.
I'm making
Yes.
sure I. Yeah, it would be good. I think they've kind of established Destiny and Matthew as a great little duo. Everyone knows she's crushing on him, and
Well, and she admitted it to David, too. I mean,
yeah,
she. Right.
you get the impression that he probably, and from
He
certain
probably
stolen
doesn't
scenes,
see it being romantic.
well, that he may have some kind of feelings back for her too. I mean, there have been some kind of scenes where there's been a lot of romantic tension. They're too young for me to use sexual tension, but
Right.
there's definitely some romantic tension. So they probably need something else interjected into that
Well, and I
dynamic.
think Eddie Alderson is a very talented actor. I love the actress who plays Destiny. I think that if they're heading towards a triangle with these three, more power to them.
Right. I think they've hit that point. They've been established well enough as this duo where they've hit the point to have that third person interjected into their dynamic,
And I really think that more than likely it will sort of become one of those things where Matt may realize he feels something for Destiny, but doesn't, and because of that, but he does have obvious feelings, or he's definitely infatuated with this new girl. I think that's a good storyline to play out, and it's very teen-esque, shall we say.
Yeah, well, they've done a great job with the teens, and that's so unusual for me to say. But the last year, since Star got pregnant, let's say, I have become more invested in the teen storylines than I have been since I was a teen myself. And don't even comment on how many decades ago that was.
Was it great to see Kevin or what this last
I
week?
loved
Enjoyed
it.
that.
I loved it.
Yeah.
You
And
said
Kim.
Kelly, I kept thinking I got real giddy with excitement.
They had Kim and Stacy going through the Buchanan
Oh.
family trying to find a guy for Kim to scam on, and I don't know why I hated Stacy so bad, but now that it's Kim and Stacy, I'm just kind of eating it with a spoon.
Best thing
It
that
was
ever happened to Stacy
fantastic.
Marasco.
It was fantastic when they had, I mean, when they were going through the things, his wife's the district attorney. Well, that one's no good then. And then the fact that they were talking about Kevin, I don't remember what the reasoning for Kevin was, probably that it was in London. But when they got to Beau, it's like, he's a cute guy. I could see that. And she goes, all the better. He has a day job, which means you could go spend money all day and he won't be around. It was like, I was thinking, it's like, okay.
And Bo is ripe for a gold digger to pluck him off.
Yeah, and
I mean, he's ripe. He's been hurt by Lindsay's betrayal and going to jail, and then he and Nora reconnect, and neither one of them had the balls to stand up and tell Clint about it. So he's been hanging out there.
do you really see Bo and Kimmy?
I don't, but at the
I don't
same
know.
time,
It's
I am
so
totally in.
ridiculous.
It
I don't know. Now,
does
not
sound
really. Come
ridiculous,
on.
but
Robert Woods is a great actor, and
he is, but
he's
I
in
just
this
can't see Beau falling for some
but he's
fake.
in such a lonely spot. He's in such an isolated, lonely spot
I
that
guess
this
it
young
would.
woman coming on to him at his age, after what he's been through, it's a viable storyline. I've seen it enough in real life.
It would
It
give
is a
some
viable
good
story.
Beau and Rex scenes, that's for sure.
It is a viable storyline, but I think that they're going to have to make Beau's discontent a little bit more evident before they can just sic her on him.
Wouldn't you
Because
rather
at
see
this
her
point,
fix?
I mean, other than the Nora factor, I haven't really seen the motivation behind Bo, like even if they were to both go out and get drunk, or he was to go out and get drunk and she take advantage of him, or whatever it may
Or
be,
drug him.
or
Maybe
well, yeah,
drug.
whatever the thing may be, I just haven't seen the motivation for Bo, this upstanding police commissioner, to end up in even either in the world of her or in circumstances that would make him susceptible to her.
Now, a lot of police officers end up with reformed bad girls.
I'd rather see her go after David Vickers. I
Yeah, but
think
he's not staying
on the show.
around. He never
Right.
stays around. And let's, while we're on the topic of
He
David,
doesn't have money either. How
he
could he
doesn't
go
have
spend his
money,
money all
and
day?
I want him with
Six,
Dorian,
seven.
damn it.
He's
Did
up
you
in
see
Canada.
those scenes this last week? Those two still have it. When I
Just
stopped watching One
do.
Life to Live was
But
when
I can't
Jonathan
handle. I
went.
am sorry. I am all for this whole promoting gay marriage, but I can't handle this whole lesbian thing, this fake lesbian thing.
Well, it's a plot point. It's a plot point.
I know, but it's so ridiculous.
Well, Ladvue's gay paree, apparently, but I don't know. As far as David and Dorian are concerned, watching them this last week, seeing them together once again, and both of them so close to admitting that they love each other but can't because each of them has hurt the other so badly over the years, was great stuff. And I stopped watching One Life to Live for almost 6 months after they didn't go down the aisle and get married because I was so mad because they were the ones I was watching for at the time. So to me, having David and Dorian reunited would be fantastic, but Tuck Watkins is never on for a long enough time period to be able to do anything with him. It's like I love that he comes back, but I don't want to see a romance with
Him
Dorian
to stay.
or with a gold digger like Stacy's friend Kim if it's only going to last 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks, whatever it is at the time. Belinda, what do you think of the gay storyline and the gay wedding thing? And let's use this to transition into Fish and Kyle, and all of a
Fish
sudden.
getting or Kyle getting proposed to.
Yeah. Belinda, take it away.
I don't understand why the gay and lesbian community that watches One Life to Live isn't insulted by the storyline with Dorian. If they are going to do a lesbian or gay storyline, then I would much rather see it done like Fish and Kyle's as a legitimate storyline, not as some rip-off fake thing that's going to blow up in their face. That's pretty much my take on
Well,
Dorian. I like Kyle and Fish. I think that Kyle's being suspended for what was it? Being overly violent? How do they put
yeah,
that? In arresting Ross Rayburn?
brutality or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is probably what I thought when I saw that is that's going to come into him being outed in a more public way. In the trial period or something when they're, you don't normally think of gay men as being particularly violent. At least I don't in our community. They're not a large, violent section of the community. I don't like Nick. I don't like Nick. He's underhanded. There's something skeezy about him. That's the only word I can think of. It's not a word that most people know, but you get my drift. I think it's not a very big roadblock towards Kyle and Fish's reunion. It's just kind of dragging it out. I really want them to be the end game. I think that's what they mean, and I'm rooting for it. So I'm just kind of waiting for the show to get everything in place where they can go with the legitimate love story between these two people who want each other and love each other. And that's why I think the Dorian thing is so cheap and such a ripoff, and I don't understand why people aren't upset about it. It's like making fun of the gay and lesbians with this Dorian pretending to be lesbian. That's how it looks to me.
See, for me, I can understand what you're saying, and I agree with you in part. For me, this is another Dorian storyline. So I'm willing to like whitewash that and say this is just Dorian being Dorian. The part that maybe it's that I'm not anticipating it being such a political storyline, even though it is that it makes Nick and Amelia look like calculated, almost bastards in some, I mean, who are willing to do anything to try
Right.
and make a point, no matter if in the long run it
Which is
undermines
one of
their
the
entire
reasons
point.
why I don't like Nick and Kyle together. You know, I mean, not, it's not that I don't know why it's so easy for me to dismiss what Kyle did to get in trouble with the law and with Stacy. But it is. It's easy for me. I'm perfectly willing to dismiss him being a bad guy in that sense. I like him. I want him with Fish, and I'm looking forward to this.
I don't like the storyline basically for, the same reasons. It's just like Dorian running for mayor could have hosted this big open like commitment ceremony in support of gay and lesbian having the right to legally marry. She didn't have to lie
Exactly.
to do it. Do you know what I
And
mean?
what about her assistant's actual love interest, the woman she wanted to do this for so they could be married? So, there's this girl sitting somewhere in Landview watching this public display of her fiance, her girlfriend, in this fake love affair with Dorian. It's just
Well, maybe
when
I
I
missed it, but did they establish that Amelia has a partner?
Yes,
Okay, I missed that
they
then.
did. It
And
was brief.
I do agree with you, Luke, that this is very Dorian-esque. I mean, this is not something that I dislike because I think it's out of character for Dorian.
Oh, I don't know. I have to agree there. It's not really out of character. It's just, I'm not a fan. And
Well,
I
it.
don't dislike Nick. I kind of get why he's was brought in and introduced and everything. I just kind of see him as like this superficial roadblock to Kyle and Fish.
And he's so pushy. What is
To
it? I mean,
me,
he's practically forcing.
it's kind of like we all know where you're going to go, and that's where everybody wants you to go. So why can't we just get there instead of having this superficial roadblock, to tide us over for the next 2 weeks until, Kyle realizes the big mistake he made and blah, blah, blah. So.
I guess for me, this storyline from the political aspect is just another example of when it comes down to it, politics is a messy business. People, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, independent, whatever you may be, people are willing to do pretty much anything. Whether it's underhanded or most people are willing to do almost anything to try and win or to make their point. And in some respects, this is a storyline that shows the example of that because you have people, I mean, these two individuals are, along with Dorian, are willing to perpetrate a lie in order to try and make a bigger point. And it will be interesting to see whether or not they end up doing more damage to their cause when it's revealed that it's a fake than they did. And if it is, I would be very interested to see how these two characters react to the fact that they may have damaged their cause more than help it.
And here's my question. What do you think is more damaging? Vicky having a possible murdering son-in-law slash stepson, or when Dorian's big lie about being a lesbian comes out? What do you think? Who do you think is going to have that more damaging scandal to
Oh,
their
Dorian's
family?
by far.
Definitely, definitely. I
Murder
mean,
happens
Vicky's
every
not.
other day in
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
Landview. I mean, these people are using the topic of gay marriage to further their own ends, and they're doing it in an underhanded way.
So pretty much Vicky's the next mayor of Landview.
Well, I'm not saying Vicky's the next thing of Landview. Whether or not this comes out before or after election night has yet to be seen.
Right.
Very
I
good
think
point.
that's what it depends on.
It comes out that Dorian's lying before election night, Dorian loses. If it comes out after she's been elected, then.
Then they would have to impeach her, which would be a lot longer
Sure, it would be a
storyline.
whole another storyline.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure,
Exactly.
sure.
Well, final thoughts. Belinda?
All right. Well, my final thoughts are that Blair makes me sick.
Oh.
I'm sorry, and I have really liked her. I enjoyed her with John. I've been a big fan since she was Asian, I have, but I said in my column, she's dead to me. She's too ignorant now to be a viable fictional character for me to applaud in any way, shape, or form. I cannot believe that after what she went through with thinking Jack was dead and all of that, and what they went through over Sam, that she is willing, just stupid enough, I would like to find another word for it, but stupid is the only one that applies, to go there again with hiding Todd's child from him. That's the first thing. And the second thing is wanting Todd back and using this to try to get Todd back. It's not something that I can wrap my head around, not even for fictional people in a soap. Now, General Hospital, I'm almost embarrassed to say I'm enjoying Sunny again. I believe that it's because of Dante and his children. The more I like Dante, the more I see of him, the more I like him. And this makes me very nervous because from personal experience with the people that I fall in love with immediately, normally they're going to make them the GH whipping boy and turn them into kidnappers and smother them with pillows. You know, I'm afraid that he's got some kind of something in his future that's going to turn him into just as flawed as the rest of the people they want us to be in love with. I'm sad that Claudia's being written out. There's nothing, don't get me wrong, there's nothing else they can do with her. From the day she came on the show, this was where she was headed. And it's just kind of a ripoff to me because I did see a lot of Sarah Joy Brown and Maurice Bernard's chemistry that they had when she was Carly coming out with them being kind of partners. And it makes me sad because she could have been the end game for Sunny if she hadn't been written into a corner. And all my children, I don't know. I feel kind of like I'm being waterboarded at Guantanamo Bay watching all my children.
Reagan?
You know, I kind of like the whole Todd and Blair thing. They remind me so much of Sonny and Carly in their heyday. And
Carly, I hate them too.
Carly had no problem hiding the kid from Sonny. So I don't mind them. But I just, you know, I think One Life to Live is still just banging it out of the park, despite some of the little things that, you know, irritate me. GH is, you know, GH. It's going to be something that no matter how much it irritates me, I'm never going to let go of. But it's irritating me less lately. So I'm looking forward to what's coming up. That's for sure.
And my final thought is it was great to watch Greg get slapped on One Life to Live by his mom.
It was good. When she did that, I was like, woo.
Long time coming. Well, on that note, we would encourage you to send your comments to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye-bye, everyone.